As we continue in our series, Dive Deep, look at authentic Christianity. And this last week we had a tremendous men and boys camp out. And Matthew chapter 11 verse 28 is where we'll start today. I want to encourage all of you fellas that were at the camp out to please come back tonight. And if you'd like to give a testimony, I'd like for you to give a testimony, maybe something that the Lord put on your heart in one of the messages, a decision that you made, and you're asking the Lord to help you follow through with that. Whatever it is, I'd like you to come back tonight. 6 o'clock is our service, and then, of course, we'll have a message different from this one for tonight. So I want to encourage you to come back. By the way, at the end of every Sunday in the summer, we have an ice cream social after the PM service. We'll say, well, can I come to the ice cream social without going to the preaching? I suppose you could, but you're going to miss the best part. So just want you to remember that at the end of every month, at Sunday night, there'll be an ice cream social. We all bring our favorite, or some of you bring somebody else's favorite, and that's great. And you say, why do you do that? Because? Do we have to have a reason to eat? I don't know that we have to have a reason to eat. We eat enough. Might as well eat together while we're here. And so we always have a good time. Also, the 4th of July is coming up. Many of you familiar? For the years, we've had the 4th of July parade in Morgan Hill at our house. We've hosted our church family, and we'd like to invite you to come. It's a great time. You can sit. We have, I think, some of the best seats in the house to watch the parade. Normally, somewhere around 80 to 100, 120 folks have come over there. And then afterward, we're going to have lunch together for you there. And some of you folks, I think, are going to bring some stuff. And I'll cook you an authentic hot dog that day, and we'll have a fellowship together. And as I've noticed over the last 13 years, not a whole lot of people watch the parade, actually. You just come to socialize, and that's the best part. And so we praise the Lord for that. Matthew chapter 11. Let's all stand together, please, out of respect for the Word of God this morning, if you're able to. The Bible says in Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus speaking, if you have your red letter edition Bible, you know that's the words of Christ. The Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. That's a little deeper than just taking a Sunday nap. I want to talk to you this morning about how to find rest with the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible this morning, and Lord, it provides us a place to go in the inspired text where we can hear from heaven. Lord, we're not looking for some extra biblical sign today or some miracle to prove the Word of God. Lord, we believe at Shadow Mountain Baptist Church that it is already settled in heaven, that it's been preserved for us right here. And God, as we read it today, we ask you that you'd please have mercy on us, and that you would help us to understand it. We pray that you would give us wisdom. You promised, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. So God, I ask that you'd give us wisdom. I ask that you'd please give me wisdom and help me to rightly divide Scripture. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be a blessing today, and I cannot do that without you. I pray that you'd help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain, that I may have the privilege of being filled with your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you'd just use me as a mouthpiece. You'd help me to say only in all of those things that you'd have me to say. And Lord, I also ask that you'd set a watch at my lips and prevent me from saying those things which would hinder your spirit or that would be an offense to these dear people that are here this morning. But I pray, Lord, that your will would ultimately be done. For the soul that is in here this morning under the sound of my voice, that is not 100% sure that if they died today, they'd be in heaven. I pray today would be the day that they would take Jesus at his invitation and come. That they would ultimately find rest in their souls by way of the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for those that have already taken of that cup, Lord, they've taken of it freely, they've drank, they're saved. But Lord, they're restless, they're burdened, they're hurting, they may be in bondage. Lord, I pray that for everyone that needs rest, that they would come today. Lord, that you'd provide as thou hast said. We love you. We again ask that you'd bless this portion of our service. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. You may remain standing. Thank you for being seated. We live in a very busy world, and I think we could all probably account for that. They tell me there are 50 billion text messages sent every day. I think the vast majority of those while people are driving. As I was coming home yesterday, I was astonished at how many people are trying to drive and text. We were leaving on Wednesday morning. It was about, about 5:30 in the morning, and a lady passed us going the other way. She had a coffee from Starbucks in this hand. She had her mascara in this hand, looking in the mirror, driving with her knee in this hand. I was just glad I was going the opposite way when she went by. But think about that. 50 million text messages are sent every day. They tell me on average there are more than 28,000 commercial airline flights every day. We're busy. We're going everywhere all the time. They tell me the normal work week today, the average work week in America is now 72 hours a week. Couple that with all the extracurricular activities the people are vested in, and you have a very busy society. But I got to be honest with you. When I see millions of people toiling for one more dollar and going home completely exhausted, I really feel bad for them. I really feel bad for what they're working for. But more than that, what I really feel bad for is their heavy heart. Oh, look, everyone's going to be tired. You do anything with all of your might, and certainly you're going to have some physical exhaustion, but I feel bad for their heavy heart and because of their discontentment, their delusionment of the world on their faces, and it saddens me because they have what they think is a physical need, and they think that they have then a need for physical rest, but actually what they need is rest in their souls, which is far deeper. I'm thankful, by the way, that there is still someone alive who can give that rest for their souls. Jesus Christ stands in our midst this morning, just as he did the day that he called this crowd of witnesses when he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, either those words are divine words or Jesus Christ was a lunatic this morning. Now, you got to hear what I'm saying. Either Jesus was a lunatic, or he was the manifested Son of God in the flesh. Now, suppose Governor Jerry Brown, our wonderful governor of this state, stood at the Capitol this morning and said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." I can't even finish the sentence. You would say, right. Okay? What if President Obama, don't laugh, stood on the porch of his house today? Or let's just go to this. Let's just say the best man that you ever witnessed, the greatest orator, the greatest preacher, the Pope, the best individual in the entire world, stood and said to everybody internationally broadcast, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know what you do? You would say they have gone mad. You would say that guy is crazy because nobody can promise that. But can I tell you that Jesus Christ can? He can and he did. Jesus Christ offers to do it and he does it to anyone who's willing to come to him. Thousands, perhaps millions throughout the centuries have accepted Christ's offer, and nobody who has ever accepted it yet has ever accepted it and walked away without finding rest for their souls. Anybody that has ever come to Jesus Christ and has confessed honestly before him has never walked away with anything less than what Jesus promised. Hallelujah for that. There was a great throng when the Lord Jesus spoke that day, much bigger, I suppose, than the crowd that sits here this morning. And yet I would also propose a much more motley crowd. One that was far different. It represented far more misery than the misery or the burdens or the cares that surround us this morning. That crowd was in far more misery than we are in here today. Far worse state. A far greater need. That crowd, within them were multitudes of poor people. I'm not talking about just poor. I'm talking about penniless people. I'm talking about people who were outcasts of society, lepers, blind people, people with every manner of disease represented in this crowd. The demonic, by the way, were there. People who were not just oppressed, but possessed. The outcast man and the woman. the woman and man who were down on their luck, the man and woman that everybody trampled upon when they went by, the people that shunned them, a vast mass, you could say, of misery. And in that midst, the Lord Jesus cast his loving eye over the great multitude that represented that kind of misery. And it's to those people that he shows his great heart of love and his immense grace. And he says to these individuals, far worse off than we are today, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Every one of you this morning has a burden, everyone who has a sorrow, everyone who has a broken heart. To all of us this morning, Jesus Christ stands at the right hand of God and says, come. Come unto me. And you know something? He not only extended his hands to them, he extends them to us. You may be in here and you're really burdened. You have a pressing need that just occupies your heart. You may be brokenhearted. You may be oppressed. You may feel like a wretch. You may feel like you've disgraced your name. You may be completely disheartened. Nevertheless, Jesus Christ says to you, come. What are you burdened about? What are you worried with? What tugs at your heart this morning? To you, it is that Jesus would say, come. May I ask you, do you hear him calling? Can you hear his sweet words as he gazes to your eye and says, come, Joe. I want you to come. Jeff, I want you to come. Ronnie, I want you to come. Scott, Matt, Scott, Jamin, I'm calling. Can you hear me? Every one of us needs rest in our souls. I want you to take your outline this morning, and I want you to see this passage of Scripture provide some hope for every one of us for two legitimate reasons. I want to call your attention, first of all, to the people whom Jesus invited. Who was it that Jesus invited? Verse 28, the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. By the way, the word all in the Bible still means all. There's nobody that's excluded here. Some people have tried to dumb down the words of the Savior, saying, well, what he really meant was those people who have been burdened down by the Pharisaical reasoning of the Mosaic law. They were just tired of living under their religious oppression. That's who Jesus is really talking to. And then some would say, no, the scope is far tighter, and that's not really who he was calling to. Can I clear up the confusion this morning that Jesus said exactly what he meant, and he said all. He said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. It didn't matter what the need was. It didn't matter what the qualifier was. Jesus meant what he said. And what he said was, any of you that needs rest for your souls, I want you to come unto me. Who was it that Jesus was talking to? He was talking to every man, every woman, every boy, every girl who is weighted down. The word laden means to be overloaded. It means to be struggling with and seeking for or bewildered by. It's trying to find a solution outside of Christ. Anybody who has something that they can't control or they can't handle or they don't understand, he says, I want you to come to me. Whatever your problem is, whatever your need, I want you to come to me. Well, I believe, first of all, he was calling those who are burdened with a sense of sin and shame. He was calling people who were burdened with a sense of sin and shame in their life. Now, I've lived long enough to know that there are many burdens and cares placed upon the backs of people, but can I confess to you this? That there is none of those burdens compared to the weight of sin that rests on the back of every man and woman. Oh, you can have lots of responsibilities, you can be in debt up to your eyeballs, but it pales in comparison to the weight of sin and the shame and disgrace that comes along with that sin in your life. It's increasingly terrible. In many cases, a year, the burden of a disgraced life and the guilt and shame that comes with every one of Satan's lies are far too much for people to bear. It's to them that Jesus Christ come. Come unto me. The day the Lord Jesus uttered these words at Capernaum, there was a woman on the outskirts of the crowd who was a sinner. She wasn't just any sinner, she was a professional sinner. She was a woman that everybody knew. In fact, she was outcasted and despised by the very people that surrounded her. There's no doubt in my mind that every woman who prided herself in her moral purity looked upon this lady with scorn. There was very little said ever kind about her. There's no doubt that these people looked at her differently. But very soon, as Jesus Christ said these words, it was as if he was speaking just to her. She, peering through this crowd, caught Jesus' eye. And as he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give rest to your souls." There's no doubt in my mind, as I have sat through many services and felt like Jesus was piercing right through my own gaze. She saw hope. She saw Christ for who he was. That day, as she stood there in the crowd and he uttered those words, she thought, "I finally have some hope." And the Bible tells us that Jesus went then after this sermon, went to Simon's house. She then immediately running back to her house to retrieve an alabaster box after she knew where Jesus would be, fled and went to see where Jesus would be, walked right into their midst and immediately began to weep. Began to fall down at Jesus' feet and wipe his feet with her hair. And then shortly after that, she would take this very costly box and then break it over the Lord Jesus' feet. And as she wiped his feet, those that were there saying, "This man says he's a prophet." If he knew what kind of woman this was, if he knew her manner of life, there's no way he would let her even in the room, much less touch him the way he does. And they scorned that woman in their heart. And that day, Jesus Christ looked down at this one lady that decided to take Jesus' promise for what it was. And he looked at her and said with a sweet assurance, "Thy sins are forgiven." Now, it was in that text that they sat at meat with him. They that sat at meat with him began within themselves, "Who is this that forgives sins also?" And then he looked at her and went far greater than that. And he said unto the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee." Then she heard these three words, "Go in peace." That's who Jesus is calling today. Someone that's burdened down with sin and the shame and the disgrace that comes with the sin and offense against a holy God. It is to those people that Jesus is still crying, "Come unto me." I tell you this morning, that woman who stood on the outskirts of that crowd, broken and burdened by her sin and shame, left that house that day with the rest of God in her heart. She had gone to the well, and she was not going to thirst anymore. Perhaps there's a woman like that here this morning, or a man, weighed down with sin that goes and the shame that goes with it. You know, I could tell you this morning that you could come to Jesus Christ, and you could leave here today in peace. You could have the peace of God if you wanted to, but you can't have it without going to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way and I am the truth." Oh, and he also said, "And the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." I'm so thankful that sinners can still come to Jesus Christ and get saved. I'm so thankful that people who live in guilt and live in shame can still find the promise, if we confess our sins, he, that is Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who was it that was invited? Well, he invited those that were burdened down with sin and shame. But I believe also there's another group of people that was invited, and that is those who were burdened with sorrow. Oh, if we only knew the sorrow that lies beneath the surface of this well-dressed crowd here this morning, it would probably hurt all of our feelings. Our mercy would rise. Our sympathy would go abroad if we just knew what's hurting you this morning. But can you think about this crowd for a minute? Think about the oppression that they lived in. Think about the secondary citizens that they felt like. Perhaps the light of life has gone out in your heart because of some strange or perhaps some significant circumstance. Your heart and your hopes have been broken by someone else or maybe even yourself. There's a quote in your notes that says, "It matters not what your sorrow is, how peculiar, how great, how overwhelming. To every sorrowing man and woman, Jesus holds out his hands and says, 'Come.'" Has your heart ever been broken? I don't mean, you know, your girlfriend in high school broke up with you and you thought, "Oh, my life is over." Obviously, it's not. You're sitting here. I'm talking about maybe your spouse has broken your heart. Maybe there's a mom or a dad in here this morning who's had a son or a daughter that has absolutely just pulled your heart out by living in sin, by living a life that would certainly not be pleasing to God. That kind of sorrow is the sorrow that Jesus wants to heal. I read a story about a gentleman who lived several years ago. His wife and he had a very happy home. He was a very successful man. In fact, he lived in Cleveland, Ohio. This is well over a century ago. One day, unbeknownst to him, he had a complete reversal in business and he lost everything. He was so in need. His home was eventually broken up. His oldest daughter, he had to send out to work, and his wife had to leave him or left him with her two boys and went down to Mississippi to live. She ended up getting a job as a housekeeper so that she could do everything she possibly could to care for her two young boys. And the man, down in despair, decided he would leave Cleveland and go up to the city of Chicago to try to re-earn his fortune. As he was up there, he began to work and do everything he could to recover. But very soon he became ill. Short time after that, his wife, who was down in Mississippi, received a telegram. Said, "Your husband is very, very sick. He's sick unto death. You need to come and you need to talk with him if you long to see him." She immediately got on the train and she rode all through the day and all through the night and all through the next day. Finally arrived there at the night. When she arrived there at the hospital, she went to the door, and at that time they wouldn't even let you in. They said, "I'm sorry, you're going to have to come back in the morning. You're not allowed to see your husband right now." She, wearied from the trip, went to a hotel and she got into her bed and went to sleep. The next morning, they said, "By the way, you'll have to come back tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock if you want to see him." She got up the next morning, eager to find out what the problem was with her husband. She went to the hospital door, and there the staff met her and said, "I'm so sorry, in the night your husband passed." She was completely stricken by grief. Bewildered and not knowing what to do, she turned and left there and didn't have a clue what was to become of her life. She took him out, buried him, was extremely lonely and sorrowful. She went to a physician short time after that in Chicago, and she was so stricken with grief that she thought something was bothering her eyes. And she went to a doctor that she thought was a legitimate doctor, but he was a Christian Science doctor and never told her. She said, "Something's wrong with my eyes." And he said, you'll be okay. It's really not that bad. It's just takes some time and it'll heal itself. Well, she left there and went back down to Mississippi thinking that her condition was not that bad. Pretty soon, it was worsening, and she decided to go to a real doctor. And she went to him and said, "I was checked out in Chicago, and my eyes are really getting really, really bad. Can you help me?" And he said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry. If you would have come to me weeks ago, I could have helped you. But your disease has worsened, and pretty soon, very soon, you will be very blind." Completely turned upside down, thinking her life was absolutely over. She didn't know what to do. She dropped into almost a depression. Finally, she got a little bit of wit about herself and decided that she would go about Chicago, back up to Chicago, and try to make some sense of it. And while she was up there, she dropped into a local Baptist church. She heard the preacher preach the gospel, and that night she came to trust Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Everything decided to change after that. She came to Jesus with her overwhelming sorrow, and he gave her rest. They say that just within a year or two, and the years after that, if you were to drop into the midweek Bible study, if you sat there long enough, eventually you would hear this lady, or you'd see her sitting there, eyes perfectly closed, closed, happy, smiling, never without a smile. And if you sat there long enough, you'd hear her stand up and say how amazing God's grace was. How thankful that she was alive. How thankful that she was that she didn't have her eyesight, because if she hadn't have been put in that course, she would have never, ever come to Jesus Christ. How is that possible? It's only possible through Jesus. Here's a lady that had everything taken away from her, and now at that time, she knew joy like she'd never known before. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a place where there is a cure for every sorrow, and it's at the feet of Christ. I don't care what your sorrow is. It doesn't matter to God. This is a little thing to God. God says, "Look, I've sent my Son, the Prince of Sorrows, to come that you might have peace, that you might have joy more abundant." What are you sorrowing over today? What hurts in the deepest part of your heart? Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." Who was Jesus talking to? He was talking to people. He was inviting people that were burdened down with sin and shame. He was talking to people who were in sorrow and heaviness of heart. They were broken. They had things taken away from them. And he said, "Look, I want you to come. I see deeper into your life than you see, but I want you to come." There's a third category of people I believe he was speaking to. Those were people burdened by doubt and unbelief. You know, it's amazing to me how much Jesus put up with concerning the Pharisees. The people that scorned him, the people that denied him, the people that doubted him. Can I just say this morning, no earnest-minded man who has any kind of morality and decency about his life can bear the burden of not knowing. No decent-minded man wants to have any unassurances in his life. He wants to be certain. He not only wants a direction for his physical life, but any genuine individual who has any type of or sense of morality wants to eliminate his life and have the truth. They can't live with the doubt. No uncertainty, only resolve and assurance. And I want you to think about this. Remember that Thomas was a doubter. And he came to Jesus. And at that day, when Jesus showed up again that following Sunday night after his resurrection, he said, "My Lord and my God." How is that possible? Anything's possible through Christ. He was a doubter. By the way, Nathanael was a skeptic. He was an honest skeptic, but he was a skeptic. "Oh, no good thing comes out of Nazareth. Look. Just come and see." And he came and saw. And the Bible says Nathanael answered the Lord and said, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." You see, when you come to Jesus with burdens, you get a whole lot more than just blessing. You get Jesus. "Thou art the Son of God." Who was it that Jesus invited? He invited everybody, and he still invites everybody that's living in sin and is wrestling with that weight. I have led several people to Christ in my life. The vast majority of them, within the first day or sometimes hours or minutes, have said something like this to me: "Pastor, I feel like the weight of the world has been lifted off of my back." What is that? That's rest. That is rest for your souls. Can I ask you a question this morning? Do you have that? Do you want it? Because Jesus says to you, "Come." Has your daughter disappointed you? Has your son disappointed you? Has your spouse? Has some family member? Has your boss? I don't know what the sorrow is. I don't know what the hurt, but God does. And the great part about being in a New Testament Bible-believing church is it's not about the problems, it's about the solution. It's about coming to Christ. We see who it was that he invited. Secondly and finally today, I want you to see what Jesus invited them to do. The Bible says, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Notice what it says in verse 29. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Does everybody understand this morning that's a promise? How many understand that this morning? That's a promise. That's why it's important to delineate, was he really serious? Can he really deliver this? The answer, of course, is yes. So let's see, first of all, what he called them to. Well, better, let's see what he didn't call them to. Jesus didn't call them to a church. Because listen, very carefully, listen. Church cannot give you rest. There's not a church on this planet that can give you the rest that Jesus promises. Somebody say amen. That's the reality of it. Look, I believe in the local church. I pastor a local church because I believe in it. I don't pastor a parachurch organization. I pastor a local independent New Testament Bible-believing church. I believe in it. I believe it's necessary. I believe every born-again child of God ought to be a member of a local church. But the church never gave anybody rest. The church is full of people today who don't have rest. Their pews are full of people who've never found it. Somebody said, salvation is not something we achieve, but something we receive. Jesus didn't call them to a church. Secondly, he didn't call them to a creed. He didn't call them to a creed. It wasn't Westminster's creed or some catechism. I believe in creeds. I think every person ought to know what they believe, and they should study the Word of God and be willing to say so. But Jesus didn't invite them to some denomination. He didn't invite them to a creed. There are plenty of people who are fundamentalists. I am a fundamentalist, and I'm okay with that. There are plenty of people who are a fundamentalist who do not have rest in their soul because they won't come to Jesus. They've made their creed, they've made their denomination greater than Christ. Listen, no one is greater than Jesus Christ. Someone said that, it was Martin Luther that said, the Christian life consists of possessive pronouns. He said, it is one thing to say Christ is a Savior. It is quite another to say He is my Savior. Let me ask you this morning, is He your Savior? I've met plenty of people who would say a whole lot of other things rather than Christ is my Savior. Someone said the most damnable and pernicious heresy that has ever plagued the mind of man was the idea that somehow he could make himself good enough to deserve to live with an all-holy God. That's crazy. Jesus didn't call people to a church. He didn't call them to a creed. Thirdly, He didn't call them to just any man. The Lord Jesus does not say, come, listen very carefully. He doesn't say, come unto the Pope. He doesn't say, come unto Mary. He doesn't say, come unto St. Jude, St. Peter, St. John, or anybody else. By the way, He didn't say, come unto a priest. He didn't say, come unto a pastor or a preacher. He didn't say, come unto one of my disciples. He didn't say, come to any other man. He said, come unto me. I'll just be honest with you. No preacher can give you rest. I can't. I sit and I can counsel with you, but I cannot give you rest. I'd love to be able to do that. Don't you all have it? Let me try it again. You say, preacher, you're being ridiculous. Right. I can't give you rest. But Jesus can. You can go to a priest for the rest of your life every day and sit there between that little screen and tell him everything you've ever done, everything you want to do, and he cannot give you rest. You can attend every service, listen to every preacher from now to the day you die, and I or that preacher or anyone else cannot give you rest. But Jesus can give you rest. He didn't call him to just any man. He said, come unto me. Sometimes I've asked people if they've come to Jesus Christ and they say, oh, I'm a Methodist. No, I didn't ask that. Have you ever come to Jesus Christ? Well, I've been a Presbyterian for 80 years. Well, preacher, you don't understand. I was baptized in the Baptist church. I didn't ask that question. I'm sorry. Let me write it down for you. I asked if you'd come to Jesus Christ. Well, I was born in the church. Wonderful. Now we have your birth location. Have you come to Jesus Christ? Well, they'll say anything. Well, that never saved anybody. There'll be lots of people from every denomination in hell when it's all said and done. Did you hear me? Even Baptists. Because Jesus didn't call people to a denomination. He called them to himself. Well, I'm a Roman Catholic. That never saved anybody. Well, I'm a Methodist. I'm a Baptist. It doesn't matter. It's not a question of whether you're a Catholic or anything else. Have you come to Jesus? If you have not, will you come today? Would you be willing to come? It doesn't matter what people think you are or how good of morals you've kept. What I'm saying is, have you come to Jesus Christ? Jesus said, I'm not calling you anybody else but me. I'm shocked. People are so anxious to put somebody else in the place of Jesus. It's so much easier to say, well, I watch so-and-so, or I follow that guy, or I do this, and I do that. Have you come to Christ? Do you follow Him? The Bible says, by the way, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now, he didn't call them to just any man. Number four, he did call them to the Savior. And I want you to see how specific he is. He says, I want you to come, I want you to learn, and I want you to take. The word come means that you have to surrender. Some people, you know, they get in a fight and they say, well, I'll go halfway if she'll meet me halfway. And that may work in some cases. Some people, nobody will ever be able to say to God. God, I'd go halfway if you'd meet me halfway, because God's already come all the way. He knew you couldn't even get halfway. Did you hear me? We've all sinned and come far short of the glory of God. The best we can do is nil compared to the holiness of God. God says, no, I'll come all the way. So if you're going to come, you got to surrender to that. You've got to say, it's not about me, it's all about you. And you got to surrender. That's the word come. The word take carries with it the connotation of commit. I'm sorry, the word learn. The word learn has to do with committing. It's not just enough. Jesus said, come unto me. And then he said, take my yoke. And then he said, learn of me. I need to be committed. Look, how many agree that you could come to Jesus Christ today? You could be saved today and tomorrow be miserable because you're not committed. Many people sitting in this room would say, yeah, I've been there. I was born again. I was saved. I used to be faithful. I used to give. I used to tell people about Christ. I used to do a lot of things. But I don't do those things anymore. Why? Because you stopped being committed. Why are you restless in your soul with the preacher's preaching? Why are you restless and you can't make sense of some things? I'll tell you why. Because you have not committed. And third, the word take has to do with obey. Many Christians live in turmoil because they're just not living by faith. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. John 16:33 says, these things, Jesus speaking, I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I've got to come, take, and learn to continue that peace process in my soul. Come to Jesus, take his yoke, and surrender absolutely unto him. Maybe this morning you need to come and commit all your sins to him for pardon. Maybe this morning you need to commit all your doubts to him to remove them, or perhaps you need to commit all your thoughts to him so that he could teach you. Maybe you need to commit yourself to him to believe in him, to learn from him, to obey him, to serve him. And I promise you, the moment that you come to him with all of your heart and cast yourself upon him, you know what's going to happen? You're going to find rest like you've never had it. You're going to have peace in your soul. So I wonder this morning if you'll come. Picture Jesus Christ standing there in the throngs of people and him looking at every one of them and every one of them thinking that he's talking just to them, Dave. Come. You have a burden that no one else sees, but I know it. I want you to come. I want you to come. I know what you're going through at home, and I want you to come. I know what people think about you. I've heard it. Why don't you come to me? And let me heal your soul. Boy, that story, that lady coming, who was a professional sinner, she came and she received something that everyone else missed out on. Why? Because she was just willing to come. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your promise. They shall find rest. God, there are people in this room this morning that need that promise to be very real to them. They're hurting.